We've been the last couple weeks in working our way to Easter. We have been reflecting on what the Lord has done for us as we go to the cross, and we've also been looking at and reflecting in our lives what Christ wants to do in our lives. Part of the video that was shown there and the heartbeat is that this morning I want to talk about distractions, and I want to talk about the things that would keep us from accomplishing what the Lord would want in our lives. And it was kind of funny because a couple things have taken place. I was talking to Pastor Susan this morning, and we can also see things that can distract us from other people and miscommunication and different things. And we were just laughing about it. We went and did some personality tests, and there's several that we've done. This one was called Myers-Briggs. Yeah, thanks. and personality. So she was not able to be at the PCDC on Monday and saw it by video, by streamline or streaming on Monday night. But anyways, she sent me a text, and you got to understand that sometimes there's smiley faces, there's question marks, and a lot of different things that in response to what we're talking about. She asked me what my letters were, and part of this personality test, and mine were ENFJ. And I won't take the time to tell you what all of that means, but when I typed it in, good old spell check wouldn't accept those crazy letters, and it sent back English. So I immediately saw what happened, and I put E period and wrote it out that way so that spell check wouldn't try to decipher it. And this morning we were laughing about it. I said, hey, I got my thing here, and we're end up talking. Now, the miscommunication was I thought nothing of it that it said English because I gave it right, but she on the other end was going like, how can I explain this any easier? You just took this personality test. What are your four letters? Why are you asking me to say it easier in English? And so on the other end, we, even though we didn't communicate, she had one idea of what was being said, and I had another. I thought I was correcting a problem, and boom, here's my initials. But on her end, she's going, what's wrong with you? What do you mean speaking English? And so miscommunication can be a part of distraction. And then I saw this cute thing that was mentioned, and it says this. It says, due to HIPAA regulations, we're not able to call our patients by name. And the picture is showing this office space and people in a waiting room. And then so the lady stands up and says, will the lady with hemorrhoids please just come forward? So there again, distractions, miscommunications, and sometimes being politically correct isn't always the best way to answer something. So this morning, as we look at Scripture and see what the Lord says about distractions, again, here's what I'm hoping, that those things that would keep us from being, doing, seeing, and accomplishing what the Lord wants. Now, if this morning you have to be honest and you're sitting there saying that the Lord has no part of my decision making, my prayer for you this morning is that you would allow him to be able to do that. That you wouldn't take for granted everything that has to come from your own decisions without asking the Lord to intervene. And I realize that every one of us has our own definition of what a distraction is. Some of us are going to have a tight rein. Some of us are going to have more loose of a rein on what we think. Some people will see certain things as not a problem, while others would see it as a big distraction. And I realize that we have some different things. So let's just bow our head this morning and ask the Lord to be involved in that. Father, help us this morning to take a look at and be sensitive to the things that you want us to learn and see this morning. Help us, Lord God, that any kind of a distraction that would interfere with our relationship with you would be dealt with, and that we would allow you to do what's needed. Lord God, I'm not here this morning to individually tell someone what their distractions are or to define the distractions, but Lord God, it's my hope and prayer that we just would be open to hear what you have to say to us in different areas of our life, that you would get honor and glory, that you would minister to us, that we would put our relationship with you as priority and allow you to minister into our lives. And we thank you for that. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me give you a definition of distraction according to a dictionary version of it. It says this: a distraction is an action caused by the lack of ability to pay attention, lack of interest in an object of attention, or in the great intensity, novelty, or attractiveness of something other than the object of attention. So let me just paraphrase that. Not paying attention to what is a priority, losing priority and allowing something else to take priority and be the main course of distraction takes you away from your focus. Thanks for coming. If you got that, that would be the lesson of the day, and you would be better off for it. If we could learn to prioritize, if we learn to not get sidetracked by some of the things going on, would be a lesson well learned. Proverbs 4:25 in the NIV Bible says this: let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. And it's kind of, when I read that verse, I kind of see like horse blinders. You know how a horse in a race has to put these blinders on so that the little bump from the horse next to him, or the seeing the other horses in the race, or seeing other people screaming in the stands and everything else, would cause this horse to stay focused so that he would finish the race. Another version says this. It says, keep your eyes straight ahead, ignoring all the sideshow attractions. And you know what? I like that verse, that interpretation better, that you would keep your eyes straight ahead and ignore all the sideshow distractions that come into our lives, and that the little side roads, the longer I'm a believer, the side roads and those distractions are what take us off of focus of the end game. As a believer, we've all come to Christ. Some of us have stood before a congregation and walked the aisle and admitted that we needed Christ in our life. And the bottom line is this, that we've surrendered ourselves to the Lord, that we've said to the Lord one way or another, in front of people or privately in our home, that He is Lord of our lives, that we've given Him everything else, that the desire in our lives is to serve the Lord. And the bottom line is this, and I realize that different distractions mean different things, different service to some means different things, but we've made a commitment that the Lord is going to be the captain of our ship, so to speak. So when we begin to steer our own ship and we begin to take and go off course is where we have bad decisions made. That's where times of sin come in, missed opportunities come in, and to me, missed opportunities and blessings from God. Anybody been there? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? That you know that those life distractions sometimes cause us to miss out what the Lord wants. When we lose sight of our focus in the Lord, we go down paths that we didn't mean to go down. We had no intention of going down XYZ road, but suddenly because of distractions, we ended up on XYZ road. And I said before that don't let noise of the city. Don't let noise of society. Don't let noise of just a loud wheel squeaking, needing oil, cause you to miss and not hear the voice of the Lord. And you're sitting there thinking, maybe that's so, but I can't think of many verses that really talk about distraction. But the Bible does talk a lot about distractions. I'll give you just a couple. 1 Corinthians 7:35 is the Apostle Paul talking. He says this: I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to God. Another version says to help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Mark 4:19, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you looked in your Bible, these would be red letter words. Jesus himself is talking to us and telling us that you know, other things that are put in priority, I'll get it out yet, in priority will damage or choke our relationship with him. It's the things that cause us to worry about things that we shouldn't be worrying about. It's the things that keep us up at night. It's the things that, if we're not careful, life can crowd out Jesus. Amen? Life can crowd out Jesus. Circumstances can crowd out Jesus. The loudest wheel making noise can crowd out the things of Jesus. Too much other things in non-priority, worldly stuff, will push and take this place where God ought to be. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your calling as a believer, you're asking the Lord to not allow me to be like the world, but more in the image of Christ. Amen. You're saying to the Lord that you, because you've surrendered your life, that Lord, I don't want to be more like the world. I want the world to see more of Christ in me, to be more like Jesus, not like the world. And out in the foyer there, if you noticed, we haven't talked about it much lately, but there's three tag words that are up on the wall. We're not done with what we're attempting to do out there, but you see three tag words. They're not just three words we decided we were going to throw up on the wall there. That came through talking, and that came through selecting these words. What we want there, you see the word grow. And we want people to understand that if we're going to serve God, if we're going to be who we're supposed to be in Christ, that we need to grow in Christ. That the first thing, that we're allowing Christ to grow in us, that we're allowing God to do something different in our lives. And then the second word there is transformed. We don't want to be like the world, Lord. We want to be more like Christ. We want you to transform our lives, make a difference, change us from who we were to who you want us to be. And the last word down there is engaged. Not only to be saved and on our way to heaven, hey, hallelujah, woo, we're all excited about that, but to engage in people and to say that, you know what, as we're growing in Christ, as we're transforming, as you're allowing us to be transformed, we need to engage in the community. We need to engage in the people's lives that we come in contact with and make a difference. The focused approach is to be what the Lord wants and not so much what we want to do. So when you think about this, what are the distractions according to God's word? It's really simple. Anything, underline it, highlight it, make it bigger, anything that would cause you to stumble, anything that would cause you to lose your relationship with the Lord, anything, whether it's good or bad, that would cause you to walk away or cause you to not prioritize or cause you to put something else in the spot where Christ should be. And then you'd have to ask yourself, what can you do about it? Any distraction that takes that spot of where Christ should be needs to be removed. Amen? Needs to be removed. Thanks for coming. Thanks for asking. So how do we do this? One long point this morning. Stay focused. Stay focused on the things of God. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay within the parameters that God is telling us as a believer, is what the Word of God is telling us. Hebrews 12:2. Love this verse. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And as a kid, I learned a verse, and you know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. First and last, priority. The first thing that you think about in the morning before you serve at your day and go about your day, the last thing that you lay your head on your pillow and you're thanking God for a day, asking him to be in on that. Clive Staples Lewis, known as C.S. Lewis, and you can wonder, it's no wonder why he went by C.S. Lewis and not Clive Staples Lewis, is a novelist, was a man that taught at Cambridge, was a man that taught at Oxford. Probably most of you would know him as the producer of the movie Chronicles of Narnia. And the book, Chronicles of Narnia. Got it. Minor detail. No, it's not. That's what I meant to say. In his writing of the Chronicles of Narnia, he also wrote the book Screwtape Letters. And if you think of this, and there's five main characters in that book. Screwtape was a senior demon. Wormwood was his nephew. And then they had what was called the Patient, which was mankind, and then the father below, which was Satan, and the enemy, which was Jesus Christ. And throughout of this, there's 31 letters where Screwtape was writing to Wormwood on how he could distract the Patient, how he could distract mankind from walking with God, how he could deter them. And in the second letter, in the second chapter of the book, in the second letter, the Patient, a man, gets saved, and Wormwood is being chastised by Screwtape for allowing this to happen. And Screwtape comes to him and says that the safest road to hell is the gradual one. That distractions can be good things that are in abundance and takes them away from the enemy, Jesus Christ. And he says that most patients, mankind, think that we put things in their mind to distract them, but our best work is done by keeping godly things out of their mind. The distractions teach them, Wormwood, to estimate the value of a prayer by immediate feelings and never let them understand the power of prayer and communicating with the enemy, Jesus. You see where I'm going with this? Where there's so many distractions in the church today, I believe is losing, the church universal is losing the Holy Spirit working in our lives because we're so wrapped up in the things of today that we're not asking God for his help. We're not asking to do things in the power of God. We're not asking him to intervene in the circumstances unless we're crying out for a specific need. Not because the power of God is weakened, but because we're not seeking the power of God and we're being distracted by the things of the world. Here, I want you to check this out. Matthew 14, verse 28 to 31 says this, "Lord, if it's you," Peter talking, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he says, "why did you doubt?" There's dangers even for a believer, even for ones that are trying to walk with God, that even a believer can drown in all of these things and stop where God wants them to be if they lose focus, if they take their eyes off the Lord. See, the first miracle that you see was Jesus walking on the water out to the boat and to the disciples, and they thought he was a ghost, and they couldn't imagine that he could do these things, and they were scared. And the second miracle that happened during that point of time was Peter having the boldness and the ability to just ask Jesus to get out of that boat, to be able to quit the safety of the boat, to step out into the storm and extend his hand to Jesus. Peter asking the Lord and the Lord saying, "Come," and being in that safe place and desiring to be in his everlasting arms and being more than conquerors in Christ and realizing that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Peter was fine until he took his eyes off the Lord, and as he began to sink. See, Peter's strength was in Christ. And when he lost that, his weakness was when he lost it and he kept his eyes on the storm instead of Christ. Anybody getting this today? And you see that I make no apologies this morning that God's people are being beaten up because they're not keeping their eyes on the Lord. They're not keeping the distractions down and the focus right. And technology is great, and I love that. I'm one of those, and I need help with technology, but I love it. But technology also is something that is tearing us down. When I see two people sitting at a restaurant and they're both on their phones and nobody's talking, and I'm guilty, and sometimes my wife has to get a hold of me and say, "Put that thing down." But do you see where I'm going? It's got a plus and a minus, and we get so distracted by different things going on and people sitting there and no conversation, and they're content just on their phones. See, I say it all the time, I don't see a devil behind every tree, but I'm not silly enough to know that we're not being tempted. We're not being distracted. We're not pushed away from the things of God. And I see that there's validity to the words where it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, roaring about, seeking whom he will devour. So submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Prioritize your time. Prioritize your money. Prioritize your friendship. Prioritize your prayer time. We need to be in the house of the Lord. We need to be speaking to each other. We need to be fellowshipping with each other. We need to be encouraging each other. Fellowshipping with people of like-minded faith. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The last day, the day where we're being pushed and shoved. And let me tell you, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So if your distractions are more pressures and more things to pull you away from the Lord, we're in trouble. I'm winding it down. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we should not let anything get in front of our relationship with God. Galatians 1:10, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God?" You have to answer that. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to just please people? See, there's and I'm closing. There's all kinds of distractions, and I love this illustration here. There's many types of distractions. Visual, manual, cognitive distractions. And where I got that from is I'm looking at the definition of a distracted driver by motor vehicle. And you say, how do you get there? I believe the Lord showed me that illustration. How else would I get there? But you see where I'm going with this? Because here's the thing. Visual, manual, cognitive. visual, taking your eyes off the road. Manual, taking your hands off the wheel. And cognitive, taking your mind off of driving. That'll preach, folks. That will preach. How God will be less in your life if you're taking your hands off the road, or eyes off the road, hands off the wheel, and you're not taking and making your mind and bringing all your thoughts under the captivity of Christ. That will preach every day. That will make a difference. There's only one way to keep from being distracted, and that's keeping your eyes on the Lord, your hands on the wheel, and making sure that your life every day, that God is priority. Don't let a day go by that you haven't reached out to Him and asked Him to connect in your life. I know there's believers that aren't praying every day. We're not staying connected. We're not allowing God to do the things that He wants to do, keeping our eyes on Him. Intentional times to set aside for Him. I talk to the Lord all day long, but I in the busyness of the day, I make sure that there's a time that I say, God, this is yours. Say amen to that this morning. We, you know, I know you can talk to the Lord on your way to work. You can ask Him for what you need in between red light to red light. But at some point in your day, stop and say, God, this is your moment. Even if it's only a few minutes, this is your moment, Lord. What do you have to say to me today? Lord, what do I need to do? How can I stay focused? How can I stay with you a priority in my life? How can I block out the distractions that take you out of my life, that cause me to go on to side roads? Anybody that knows me, my mind wanders. It races. It's constantly thinking. That's a plus and a minus. On some days, it's a minus because I'm so trying to think and do and that I have to just sometimes just blot it out. One of my favorite verses is, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is meaningful and praiseworthy, think on these things. You know, the Lord gave me that verse because what? My mind is like crazy. And we like to think that we're multitasking. We like to think we can do all of these things, but sometimes we are just one step from one nut coming off the wire. We've got to stay focused. Fill your mind with the things of God so that the things that don't concern you, you don't leave any room for. Amen? Think about these things, and then we're going to pray in a minute. Maybe you've been not doing a good job of keeping your mind centered on Christ. Then this morning, my advice to you is that your prayer should be in the next few minutes, Lord, help me to stay centered on You. Maybe you're not doing a good job on keeping your mind focused, and your relationship has suffered, and you know it has, and maybe this morning your prayer should be that You, Lord, would be able to refresh my mind and allow me to put You as a priority. Allow me to make time in my life so that my relationship could go to a deeper relationship with You. And maybe this morning that you just would have to say, you know what? Lord, it's been all about me. I see that every day. I see people that they think the world just revolves around them, and that all the rest of us are just here for them. And maybe that's what the Lord's showing you this morning, that it's been all about you and about what your needs are and what you want to accomplish and how that plays into your life. And maybe this morning that you would have to just say to the Lord, you know what? I want You in on that decision-making process. I want You in on the not only the hard things, but also the good things that I'm working through. And then maybe you're sitting here and, you know, you don't have that relationship with the Lord. And I've been speaking Chinese to you for just a few minutes. Then you would have to ask Him into your life. It's not easy. But you would have to ask him into your life. Simply now would be the time to surrender that part of your life to him, allowing him to do what's needed. So you know what? I think that we've hit everybody this morning. You say, man, I know I hit myself. There's always something that the Lord wants to do in our lives. Whether you've been saved for 50 years or 5 minutes, the Lord wants to do something in your life. He's constantly wanting to show you something or have you to be sensitive about something that's going on. And all I'm asking you for this morning is to just take this moment and ask him to speak to your heart. Amen? Would you just bow your head with me? Father, as we look at all the things that can distract us, Lord God, we see that if we're not careful, that we could be swayed. We can be distracted. We can even allow good things that get in front of our relationship. If we're not careful, Lord God, we can see that we've drifted away from some of the things that used to be important in our life. And this morning, I'm simply asking, Lord God, that you would minister to each one of us. This message didn't come this morning without you speaking to me, and I'm sure listening to it that, Lord God, you're speaking to others. That, Lord God, we need to be careful that we make you first in our lives. That we're careful that we accomplish all that you want in our lives. We need to be careful that, Lord God, when you're asking us to cast a bigger net and to speak to people that were around, that, Lord Jesus, that we would hear your voice and be sensitive to what that means to each one of us. May you accomplish that in our lives. May this body of believers as a church get a heartbeat for this community, care about the people that we come in contact with, desiring, Lord God, to see people come to Christ, desiring, Lord God, those with addictions and habits and things that are unhealthy, Lord God, that all we would do is point them to Jesus and allow you, Lord God, to do what's needed in their life. We can't save anyone. We can't fix anyone. But Lord God, help us to be all that you want us to be. And it'll come because we're listening to your voice, and we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.